Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, let's go right out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we welcome TSN's Craig Button. Craig, how are you today?
I am good, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking the time. And we just heard a couple of clips from our afternoon guys yesterday with Pierre McGuire talking about this possible 24-team playoff where the top four seeds would play a round robin for seeding. And then you'd have matchups kind of like the NCAA basketball tournament. What do you make of this proposal? What do you like and not like about 24 teams, Craig?
Well, one of the things what I would say is that, you know, we have to open up our minds. You know, what we're dealing with is unprecedented, and, you know, we have to consider different things. So, you know, Gary Bettman has been, you know, very optimistic about completing the regular season and, you know, then getting into the full Stanley Cup playoffs in the traditional way, you know, finish, you know, get the full 82-game complement in and then 16 teams in. Well, I think, you know, we're off now for just over 2 months. And, you know, with the player committee, you know, the return to play committee, which includes the NHLPA and the NHL, I think that the NHL has taken in some very good thoughts from the players. And I think one of the biggest things is you have these teams, Detroit, Ottawa, the three teams in California. Like, what is their upside to playing? There really is none. You know, you're going to come back and train for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks to play for a week and a half to two to complete your season, and then you're done. You know, so I think that that's where the 24-team idea has emanated from. And so now you look at, okay, different times, you know, what does it mean? We get teams that are now committed to training and committed to the idea of, you know, not only going deep into the playoffs, but competing for the Stanley Cup. And I think that that's where the idea, I think, has really good traction. And then as we've heard about the hub cities and, you know, how that can all look, I mean, that's something the NHL continues to evaluate. But I think given the circumstances, given the concerns that have been expressed by the players, you know, in the markets that have no chance to compete and would affect the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think it makes a lot of sense. Quite frankly, I like it. I think it's something that's creative and that it addresses, you know, where we're at in the situation that everybody's faced with.
Craig, maybe I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'll say that. I mean, aren't the Ottawas and Detroit still left out of 24 teams?
Well, they that's Ron. That's where the players committee, the return to play committee, has said. Like, Ottawa doesn't want to be part of it. Like LA, like the California teams don't want to be part of it. All they would be really coming back to play for, if you had a regular season, is 2 weeks. So all that time spent to get back up to speed and to play for 2 weeks, you have no chance if you're finishing a regular season. Those teams have no chance. The three California teams, Detroit, and all, they have no chance. So I think that's what the league has heard from the players. And that's why I think it makes sense. Like, you know, if you want to keep the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup as intact as impossible, you can't have those teams that have been really poor-performing teams up until March 12th in a playoff format. It doesn't make any sense for the integrity, and the players don't feel that it makes any sense for them to come back and play just to be completing a regular season.
Craig Button of TSN on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. So I kind of like 24 teams, and I obviously get the idea of more teams equals more revenue, and you get teams like Chicago, the Rangers, and Montreal in there. those are a lot of eyeballs on televisions and more revenue. But the one team that stands out to me is the Canadians, Craig, because they're pretty far off here. They've already played 71 games, and what are they, 10 points out of a playoff spot? Something like that. That would really be stretching it to include the Canadians, although I do get it. How do you feel about their inclusion in 24?
Well, what ends up happening is really, it comes down to this. You know, the math for 24 is a lot easier than the math on 23, right? And, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks are the team that are at 23. They have 72 points in 70 games. And, you know, so I think that, like, you know, with Buffalo and New Jersey rounding out the three California teams, Ottawa and Detroit, you know, there's a demarcation point. The Buffalo Sabres could very well, the New Jersey Devils could as well, have a case to say, wait a second, we're only 3 points behind Montreal, and yet, you know, we have, if we play two more games. But if the NHL goes by point percentage, Montreal is ahead of them. So, you know, like Gary Bettman made this comment early on. He goes, no matter what we do, there's going to be some teams that aren't happy and there's going to be some discord. And I think that that's absolutely what happens. But, you know, the 24 number, you got to have a number and then just say, okay, that's our point. That's where it works. And this is how we're going to proceed. So your point is totally fair. And there will be disappointment from a few other teams, namely New Jersey and the Buffalo Sabres in the East, who would get punched out.
Craig, I got to believe the clock is really ticking here. These guys haven't skated for 2 months. And how long do you think they would need, not to get back into like top-notch hockey play, but just so they don't, you know, get devastated by injuries? I mean, I have to think the league's got to make a decision pretty soon.
Well, hey, you know what? I think you nailed it there, Ron. Like, I mean, it is about, you know, return to play. I'm sure, like everybody else, I shouldn't say everybody else, but, you know, when you watch The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, that early part where he broke his foot and he wanted to return to play, and he just wanted to play. But when they went to Jerry Reinsdorf and he asked, he said, the 10%, what does it mean if he does get hurt? He says his career's over. Well, as an owner, Jerry Reinsdorf says, that's not something I'm prepared to do. And I think that's the same thing with the owners of the NHL teams and the players themselves. You want to make sure that they're in a place, number one, where they can compete at the level that they know that they're comfortable at playing at. And then number two is that there's not a risk of injury. So, you know, it's one thing to be comfortable, but you got to ramp it up. I got to think we're looking at, in terms of training and then getting back on the ice, a minimum of 2 weeks to start play again, because I think you have to really ensure that the players are in game shape, competing shape, because if it ramps up pretty quick like they're planning on, if this is what the plan is, then the intensity is going to be present right from the get-go. So I think that becomes really, really important to do that. And you know, when you talk about, you know, time running out, the league has talked about having lots of runway and that they could play into the summer, into the fall, start next year's schedule in December. But the problem with that, and, you know, you have to look at it, is, okay, so how many teams are going to be playing to the end? You know, okay, let's just use four. Everybody else is off. But with the lack of playing and what type of risk do you run in trying to compress a season for the 2020-2021 season? So I think that has to be taken into consideration as well when you talk about running out of time. But, you know, when we're talking about the economics of sport, and, I mean, I was just listening before I came on about, you know, if there was a season canceled in the NFL this year, they couldn't play, that would mean $154 million based on 2018 numbers, attendance numbers for the NFL. That's how much the Steelers would forego. Well, we're into an economic discussion now as well. And, you know, you have a lot of businesses, not just in sports, that are reliant upon trying to get up and running. So I think we understand it from the economic point of view of, you know, trying to give yourself every opportunity to be able to return to play and do it in a manner that doesn't put the players in any unnecessary risk.
Craig Button joining us here on Cook and Joe. And let's stick with the financial aspect for a minute. We're seeing intense negotiations going on in baseball about how to divide up a limited pile of money here. What are we looking at in hockey moving forward, Craig? Are we looking at some contentious negotiating here? Are we looking at a situation where guys who are locked into long-term contracts may not be safe with those salaries? Like, you might have to adjust contracts based on revenue. What do you see when you look in the crystal ball?
Well, one of the things, and this is where baseball, you know, without a salary cap, and what the salary cap in the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL has done, it has linked revenues with what you can spend on players' salaries. So that's put the cap into place. So, you know, there's a direct link and there's a direct relationship as per the CBAs in the respective sports that says, okay, if we have this many revenues, then this is what the salary cap will be. And you look at it, and so it's already factored in, you know, with respect to the CBA. But the owners and the players, they understand this is not an ownership issue. It's not a player issue. This is nobody's fault what's happened. So I would suggest that there shouldn't be a contentious situation that arises because of this. I think there has to be real serious collaboration. If you want to go by the definition of the CBA and the NHL, well, if the revenues are low, then the salary cap's going to have to go down. Well, that's going to put a lot of it's going to also put a lot of strain on the individual franchises. And what does it mean for the players? You know, their contracts or their contracts are supposed to be paid. And, you know, so I think they have to get to a scenario where there's collaboration. I think that the cap can be artificially set for a period of time. We've seen it in the economy, how you try to give subsidies, you try to prop up different industries. And so within the industry, how do they work through this scenario from a financial point of view to make sure that, okay, the teams are not taking on a more considerable burden of this pandemic, nor are the players. And that's going to require collaboration. And I really don't have any doubt that that will occur in the NHL. And I think that that's already what they're working towards in terms of trying to manage this, you know, very, very, rare circumstance with respect to the pandemic.
Craig, should Pittsburgh have any hope of being one of the two hub cities?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Gary of the NHL has locked it down to just two teams or two hub cities. I think that, you know, when you're starting to hear, I mean, you know, we heard that a number of states are opening up for business. And, you know, I think a big part of the challenge for the NHL, but a significant part of it is how much do you want teams traveling, right? And is there a way to travel within a geographical location that doesn't require, an unnecessary burden on other people? So can you travel by bus, you know, if you're in this hub, around? So I think that, you know, to me, when you start to look at, you know, 12 teams in one hub and 12 in another hub, I mean, that seems to me to be a really significant number to try to accommodate in a lot of different ways. So, you know, it's not just the ice. It's where they can train. It's where they can practice, you know, and what goes with it. So I always seem to think that, four hubs or if it was a 16-team scenario, and maybe that's what it should be. Maybe it's six hubs to start. It just seems that it would be a lot to ask two cities, two hubs to house, you know, 12 teams down to eight. I think that might be a little bit much, but it may be what is necessary considering what the health experts feel can be worked out.
We'll leave you with this one, Craig. I read with great interest TSN's all-time Team Canada. I kind of like the top defense pairing of Coffey and Orr. I think they have a chance to be pretty good. Let me ask you about the top line. It has Gretzky at center, Mario on his right wing, and then John Tinelli on the left wing, which was interesting. And then Phil Esposito as the second line center and Sid as the third line center. Can you speak to some of that?
Well, I mean, one of the things we tried to do is, and when you look at it, you think about first center, second center, third center. We really didn't try to say that this is the first line center. John Tinelli was the MVP of the 1984 Canada Cup, and you know that was a best on best tournament. And you know, with all the best players in the world playing, you know, we really felt that John Tinelli earned a spot as MVP in that tournament. Esposito and Henderson in 1972, when Canada faced off against the Soviets. I mean, it was a significant tournament, and Canada had to go over to the Soviet Union, and they won the last three games on the backs of Phil Esposito and Paul Henderson. And certainly, you know, when you think about the contributions of Sidney Crosby, the golden goal in 2010, everything he's done, I mean, it really wasn't about who's the first center, the second center, the third center. We tried to keep them paired up and who might be interesting to play with. You know, obviously Gretzky and Lemieux were a phenomenal duo. You know, and then you start to look at it, and you know, we had Jerome Iginla playing with Sidney because of the golden goal in Vancouver in 2010 at the Olympics. So we were really trying to make it as much about interesting who players played with and maybe who they had played with. But I can tell you this, guys, it was a lot of fun to do it and to be part of it. And I don't care what team you're doing, there are some really, really quality players that were left off the respective rosters, and it just speaks to not only the history of those organizations, but also speaks to how many quality players that they had coming through, whether it be national teams or whether it be individual teams.
Well, it makes for great fodder for conversation. We appreciate the time, Craig.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. And Hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, we get a chance to talk about on-ice hockey.
Man, that would be great to have you back on talking about that. Take care.
You too. Thanks.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.